Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning on this dreary October morning here in Saturday in Dunbar, West Virginia. Thankful to be with you today. Thankful to, what the Lord has showed me through the Word of God. If you brought your Bibles with you, open them there to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Want to kind of go over what we went over last week and then look at what the Lord showed us this week. I didn't get very far this week. I only made it to verse 28. We talked a lot about verse 27 last week, but there's a lot. There's so much in this book of Philippians to go over that it's kind of mind-boggling, really, how Paul wrote and the things he mean. There's so much in behind the scenes going on, and there's so much in every definition and the punctuation and every word in this book of Philippians that it's just phenomenal. What type of man this guy Paul was. I mean, just a godly man. He was always striving for excellence, and not only in himself, but trying to push other people towards their greatest person in Christ that they could be. So open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 27 through 30, much like last week. We just finished a chapter, but we're not going to get through the end of the chapter today. Unless the Lord leads us in another direction. This is what it says. It says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come to see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing," this is what we're going to talk about today here in verse 28, "and in nothing be terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given on the behalf of Christ, that not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me." So last week we talked about verse 27. We talked about, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come to see you or else I be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." And last week we spent some time on that. We talked about how the idea is let your conduct, that word conversation is a conduct. It means conduct, how you handle yourself. I think the title of last week's lesson was Carry Yourself Well. And a lot of times in our lives, we think, well, our testimony or something we say in church or our if we preach or teach or sing or we hold a position in a church, a lot of times we think that's our greatest ministry or opportunity to lead people to the Lord. But there's a lot more to this life than just our where people see us, our conduct, how we handle ourselves in everyday life. Like just how you act in different situations I think that's probably a greater testimony than anything you can do, is how you handle yourself and how you act in life. And in the world we live in today, the people introduced me to a term the millennials are using. It's called cancel culture. And I didn't understand what that was, but basically if they don't like something or it doesn't agree with your views, you can cancel them out and they're not relevant anymore. Okay. So we live in a world today where if you can mess up, it can be displayed throughout social media and all those different things. And maybe you say something or do something, or somebody catches you in something or something of that nature. It can really derail, or I don't want to use the word destroy. That sounds too end, like end all, but your conduct is important. And that's what Paul's trying to get across in the book of Philippians. He's saying, only let your conversation or your conduct. See, when we look at that word conversation, it's important to know the definition of that word and what he's trying to get across. It says, only let your conduct, how you handle yourself, how you go about your life, how you talk to your wife, how you talk to your children, how you talk to people at church, like how you act, that is going to be one of the greatest witnesses for Christ that you can ever have. Okay, you can talk, you can sing, you can do all those things, but if it's not backed up by your conduct in everyday life, it's kind of going to become void in the grand scheme of things. Okay, so we need to be real careful as Christians, and as you know what Christians means, Christ-like, a little Christ, something of that nature. We've got to be awful careful as we go about our life, that we become Christ-like and we begin to work towards being even more Christ-like as we strive every day for going through. So we've got to make sure our conduct. So that was what we talked about last week. And then we went down. We didn't spend much time on the latter part of that verse where it talked about with one mind and one spirit striving together for the faith of the gospel. We didn't talk much about that. But basically it's saying let's work together in one mind and one spirit, striving for the faith in the gospel. Okay, so let's look at what we want to talk about this week. In verse 28, it says, "And in nothing be terrified by your adversaries." Now, I just want to stop there. That's all the farther we're going to make it today in that first phrase in verse 28. Now I want you to look at this verse, verse 27, going into verse 28. Now, you know that in the Bible, a lot of Bible readers are understand this. If you're kind of new to the faith and you haven't been around it very much, as you go, you begin to mature and you begin to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord, and you begin to figure things out. You begin to understand that not only is wording important in the Word of God, but punctuation is important in the Word of God. How things are placed, different punctuations, commas, semicolons, periods, all those things are put together. And when the Bible was first being formed, it wasn't broken up kind of like it is today. We look at it and we'll say, turn to this chapter, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that's a broken thought. That's just where they broke that up. So as we look at the end of verse 27, as we come down through there, it says that with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel, at the end of the word gospel, we see a semicolon. And what the semicolon means is like there's a continued thought into verse 28. So this thought of striving together with one mind and one faith for the gospel, it's going to continue that thought into verse 28. And then it says, "And in nothing be terrified by your adversaries." And then there's another semicolon. So I want to talk about that thought of "and in nothing." That's my lesson on my computer. It says "and in nothing." That's the title of where we're going with this. But it says, it's telling you to strive together for the faith of the gospel in one mind and one spirit. And then it comes down and there's kind of a warning, and it says, "And in nothing be terrified by your adversaries." Now, terrified has a real interesting definition. I found this on Webster. It's pretty powerful to really look at this word and define it. We think, you know, it's the Halloween season and we're getting ready to have trunk or treat, you know, and the end of October is all about fear, and not at our trunk or treat, but you know, like scary monsters and all those things. And and when we think about being terrified, the first definition that comes to mind is just right off the bat, you just think about being scared. We just think about, hey, I'm scared, I'm terrified, I'm scared. But you know, fear, one of the definitions of terrified is to drive or impel. To drive or impel. So when I think about terrified, when I think about being scared, I never really thought about the idea of it driving me or pushing me in some sort of direction. Okay. Now watch this with me. And it says, "And in nothing terrified." So we're saying in nothing be scared, or if you allow me to put it this way with this definition, "And in nothing, let nothing drive us or impel us to a place where we shouldn't be." Now that's an interesting thought. That's pretty powerful, actually, when we think about this first, okay? Now go back to 27, and it says, "With one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing, whatever it is, and in nothing," nothing means nothing, okay? When you think of the definition of the word nothing, you think of nothing. I'm talking about nothing, terrified by your adversaries. So what Paul's saying is he's saying we need to strive together for the faith of the gospel in one mind and one spirit. We need to let our conduct work together, and then our conduct in our own lives. See, it starts in your own life. It's an inside job in that own personal relationship with Christ. I can't answer for you. You can't answer for me. It starts in our conduct, okay? Only let your conversation or your conduct be as it becometh the gospel. Once you get that straightened out, once you get your conduct, your relationship with God, your relationship with Christ straightened out, the indwelling Holy Spirit lives inside of you, then you begin to work with one mind and one spirit, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Then you begin, and then he comes down and he gives us a warning, and he says, "And in nothing be terrified by your adversaries." So what he's saying is he said, let the conduct Let it begin to work as it becometh, and begin to work in that one mind and one spirit. And then he comes down and gives a warning. He says, and in nothing be terrified, or and in nothing, don't let anything drive you to a place you shouldn't be. Okay. Now, so many times when we think about being driven to a place we want to be, there, it's easy to think about, well, drive us to a place of, you know, they talk about the huge sins. You know, and I'm a big fan of there's little sins too, okay? But we talk about how, I know growing up there was always, now I don't talk much about it anymore. At least I don't hear about it much anymore. But when I was growing up, there was a lot of talk about peer pressure. If you get around this certain group of people or this certain group of friends that you've been around in high school, they will drive you to a position that you shouldn't be. Maybe that's with drugs. Maybe that's with alcohol. Maybe that's sex before marriage. Maybe that's whatever it may be. Maybe it's cheating on tests in high school. Whatever that may be. When we talk about being driven someplace, we talk about peer pressure, all those different things. But let me bring a different thought to this morning as we look into the Word of God. It says, "And in nothing be terrified, or and in nothing be driven by your adversaries." Now, when we think about being driven, or when we think about being terrified, although it's easy to think about the negative, which is the drugs, the alcohol, the sex before marriage, all those different things, that's easy to be think about. But what if I told you that what if some of us, I believe that we have a lot of potential in our lives, and we've been driven away from some good things in our lives? Let me explain. What if God's placed something inside your heart? Maybe a ministry, maybe some type of thing to step out of your comfort zone. Maybe something to begin to move on. I don't know what it may be. I mean, I know I've been working with the youth for a long time now, a good 10 plus years, and I've watched that group of kids that's been sitting on that front row to the left when you walk in the back of the church, and I've watched them. And I've begun to watch them. They've been almost like, I mean, just catapulted. They've kind of caught some kind of fire. The Lord's beginning to work in their lives. He's beginning to move among them. I watched them during revival. I watched them testify. I watched all those different things. And I think God is trying to like push them in a direction. Okay. I think he's trying to push them to a place. Now, whenever you're being pushed in a direction, a lot of times fear comes in. Let's say, for instance, let's use a practical example. Let's say, for instance, God's pushing you to a different career path. A lot of us, we work, we have jobs, we have careers, we have a place where we go of employment, all those different things. Let's say, for instance, that God's pushing us to a different career choice. Well, the first thing that comes to our mind is we're being pushed out. Well, the first thing that comes and just begins is finances. Retirement, health insurance, all these different things, they just begin to bombard our mind and they just begin to do that. And what it does is it begins to push us in a certain direction. Now, the will of God is to have faith in Him, right? Is to have faith no matter what the situation. If God tells us to move, we should act upon His word and do what He called us to do. But the idea in our minds is we become terrified, and it begins to drive us either towards it or away from us. Okay? And that's one thing you have to understand is when we think about end in nothing, terrified by your adversaries, although he's saying don't be scared or don't let them push you to a place by your adversaries, we have to think about that. And I'm kind of taking this a little bit, pushing it towards a direction where we can make it applicable to our lives. But when we think about end in nothing, be terrified, or end in nothing, allow it to push us in a direction, we begin to think that not only is this something that's bad that could affect us, but we begin to understand that it could be something good that's affecting us too. Because fear in being terrified, the definition is to drive or impel or scare. So we're saying, and in nothing, be terrified by your adversaries, okay? I hope that made sense to you this morning. I was looking over this and working on it a little bit the other day, and I thought about how, like, sometimes God pushes me in a direction, and it's a good direction, and He tries to put me in a place where I can excel, put me in a place where I can grow, and all those different things, and then I get scared, and I realize, because here's the deal. I've been learning this a lot lately. Tom was picking on us the other day whenever he was preaching, and he was talking about how he doesn't exercise. And I've been paying attention. I've been exercising. I've literally like exercised or work out probably since I was old enough to do it. Okay. Now I'm not like this. I'm not this huge bodybuilder. It doesn't consume me, but I spend 20, 30 minutes a day. Just more of my exercises for therapy. Okay. It's a thing I can go. It relieves stress, all those different things. It just makes me feel good. But what I've been learning over the years is my mind naturally doesn't want me to exercise. My mind doesn't want me to my mind. If I really would listen to my mind and my thought process, a lot of times my mind wants me to be comfortable. Okay. It wants me to not be stressed. It wants me to be comfortable. Now, what I mean by that is when I get off work, my mind is not telling me, hey, go run on the treadmill or go work out. My mind is telling me, go sit on the couch and rest. Whenever I go, if I would be like going to do something, just something extracurricular, a lot of times my mind tells me, just stay there. My mind, at least that's how it works in my head, is my mind wants me to be comfortable most of the time. Okay? So my mind is not going to really like get out there and push me. 1 Peter 1:13, it says, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind. And what that's saying is, we've went over this before, but the loins is your reproductive area. Okay? So it's saying gird up the reproductive area of your mind. And it's saying protect that area. Because, you know, your mind produces things. It produces thoughts. It produces actions. It produces all these different things. So when we look at 1 Peter 1:13, we realize that Peter's writing and he's saying gird up the loins of your mind, or protect the reproduction area of your mind. Okay. I hope that makes sense to you this morning, because a lot of people, we have a lot of different thoughts, a lot of different things going in a lot of different directions. And ultimately, I think our mind wants us to be comfortable. And a lot of times our mind will restrict us from becoming what we should be. And that goes back to the book of Philippians when he talks about, do not be terrified by your adversaries, or in nothing be terrified. Don't let anything drive you. Don't let your adversaries and when we look up the word adversaries in the Greek, it means to lie opposite, contrary, or oppose. So what it's saying is, don't let this thing that opposes you drive you to a place you shouldn't be. Okay? And like I said, very, very few times in life we'll come against and I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but my battles 99.75% of the time are not with anybody physically. They're within my own mind of what God's trying to tell me to do and what my mind is trying to keep me from. Okay. It's just like that idea of working out. Okay. When I come home, my mind's not necessarily speaking to me to work out. Actually, when I get here and I work out with a few guys, when I get to my house, a lot of times when we're putting the workout on the board and we're writing it down, the thought comes to my mind, I just want to take the day off, you know, and it's not telling me to work out. So that's an interesting thought this week. I just wanted to share that with you. I'm thankful to be able to share that with you. If you have any thoughts, shoot me a text. If you have anything that you learned from it, let me know. But I'm thankful to be in this book of Philippians. I mean, it's pretty powerful book, to be honest with you. You need to look into it and read it and study. We might get into, we'll either finish up chapter 1 or start in chapter 2 next week. But I love you guys. I appreciate you. Can't wait to get back with you.